This is Ramsey Radio, the farming and farm machinery podcast from Ramsey Brothers, partnering farmers since 1950.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Ramsey Radio. I'm your host, Tim Glover, and my guest today is Joe Anderson from Agri Legal SA. And our topic is something you can't ever know too much about, succession planning. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Tim. It's great to be here, and I'm looking forward to having a good chat with you today.
So, Joe, we do know each other, but maybe just tell us a little bit about yourself, importantly, and obviously Agri Legal SA.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Tim. I guess starting from the start, I grew up in Port Lincoln. My dad was a lawyer over there, actually, with a firm called Jenkins Anderson, which many of the listeners would probably know and perhaps have used as their legal advisors over the years. I went off to boarding school, met a whole bunch of lads from different parts of the state, which was great. Ended up falling into doing law and, yeah, sort of floated around a bit overseas and interstate. Ended up back in Port Lincoln working with dad and moved to Adelaide and just recently started up Agri Legal, which it was something that I've always really wanted to do. I just noticed that whilst there's a lot of firms that dabble in sort of Agri Legal work, there wasn't a really specialist firm out there that did nothing else but Agri. So that was the reason why I started it. And I'm just on my own at this stage. It's only small, but obviously hoping to grow it over the years.
And it's exciting, Joe. I guess a key area where farmers, Joe, are wanting this kind of professional advice is succession planning. So can you outline what succession planning is by definition?
Yeah, absolutely. The way I see it, succession planning is probably slightly different to different people and certainly different in different industries. But it generally relates to a family business, not always, but it basically means a transfer of management and transfer of assets from one generation to another. How that is achieved is obviously the rub, and there is quite a process to implement that. But I think the key word is there is a plan. So I guess something that I always try to explain to clients, it doesn't necessarily mean that step 1 to 10 all has to happen on day one. It can be something that we can start off with steps 1 and 2 and, you know, in 3 or 4 years' time, implement further steps. But I guess the idea is that at the start, we sit down with all the people who are going to be involved and we work out what everyone wants to achieve from the process. And then there's sort of two parts to it. One is sort of, I guess, the general lifestyle, you know, and people's needs and that sort of things about what they want to get out of life. And then there's the technical side of it, which often involves, you know, some quite complex tax advice and those types of things. So that's basically a succession plan in a nutshell. I suppose what it's not an estate plan. So generally, if a succession plan is implemented properly, then when the person dies, there's not really much for the will to do, because we've already dealt with all of the assets and we've set up a structure that has dealt with those issues before the person dies.
I think you you make a very valid point there that I guess it is a plan. It is that roadmap for what the future may hold and how the future needs to pan out.
No, 100%. And that's really where the structure comes into it. So there's no point of trying to implement a succession plan that can't be carried out. And this is probably where I sometimes run into issues with non-professional advisors, is that they may come up with some good plans and some fancy brochures, but when it ends up on my desk, I quite often end up saying, well, you just can't do that. or if you do that, it's going to cost you $1 million in tax. Or, unfortunately, there's a lot of technical side to a succession plan as well. So it all has to be sort of carried along together. But once you get the structure in place, then you've really secured it. And it does, you know, obviously that you can build in some flexibility there. But if someone did depart earlier than expected, the structure is already done. All the hard work is already done. And if the parties have sat down and made their plan for the next 10 years, whatever it happens to be, then obviously all that means is just that plan is just sped up a little bit.
The actual term succession planning is certainly something that we hear a lot more of, you know, now. In your opinion, Joe, has something changed in the way farms are being operated and passed on?
I think farms have become a lot more professional. Farming businesses have become a lot more professional and sophisticated as they probably needed to and as the world demands of them. So I think farmers are a lot more switched on to to business, more of the business side of it. Obviously, certainly the grain side, there's the extra responsibilities of marketing, which has meant they've sort of had to look up from their paddocks a bit more into the world and see what's happening a bit more broadly. So I think it's partly that. I think it's partly, I guess, the assertiveness of the next generation, where, you know, the traditional patriarch who ran the business and ran the family wouldn't ever really be questioned by the son. And I suppose those guys are probably the fathers now who are about to retire, but they certainly, in general, that their place was fairly well known, where the next generation, you know, has been taught at school and in life that you need to go out and get what you want, and you need to be open and communicate and all those types of things. So, you know, they're much more willing, I guess, to ask for the process to commence. So I think there's a bit of that. And probably the third thing that I think has allowed these types of conversations to happen and these processes to be put in place is that there's been quite a few changes to tax and stamp duty law, which actually means that we can do a lot of these things without incurring significant tax and stamp duty.
You know, I asked the question, has something changed in the way farms are being operated and passed on? You know, the massive rises we've seen in the value of farms and the value of land, you know, the numbers and the sums and the values that we're talking about now are, you know, have never been as high as they are. And
no, that's right. I mean, when you're sitting on 20, 30, 40 million dollars worth of assets, it tends to focus the mind.
Absolutely. And you know, if you don't have that qualified, you know, well advised and well written and executed plan in place, it just throws you open to, as the values rise, so do sometimes the outside influences and people wanting to question this and challenge that. So let's get to the heart of it. What's succession planning going to involve for a multi-generational farming family? You know, what will it cover and what's the process?
Every process is slightly different. I've never had, it's very rare that you get one that's the same, because there's all sorts of different variations between a family, you know, personalities, assets, partners, all sorts of things that sort of, when you throw them all into the mix, they need to be considered. And it's certainly not a one size fits all process. You really need to tailor it to the family and the personality. So I guess in a sense that they have to be tailored, but from a general perspective, I guess the first part of the process is just having that initial discussion, saying, you know, this is something that we need to think about. And I think if the older generation can be the ones who has that initial conversation, I think it does help. Sometimes people get their back up a little bit and thinking that, you know, the younger generation wants to come and take over all the money and take all the assets, when that's usually not the case. They just want to have a plan in place. So initial discussion, sort of first step. Second step, once people have sort of had a think about it, it would be to involve some professionals. So generally, obviously, your accountant is very, you know, their accountant is very important. Someone like me as a lawyer, I think, is good to get involved early, because for those reasons that I talked about before, in terms of, you know, one thing is having the ideas, a second thing is being able to implement them from a legal and tax perspective. So it's really important to get your professionals involved. And then sort of as part of that, an offset of that is gathering all the information together. So a key part is knowing who owns what. You know, they might have four or five different trusts. They might have a company. They might have a partnership, and stuff like when things were bought, because dates are really important, and how much they were bought for, because that's really important as well for the tax considerations. So that's sort of getting as much information together. And then probably after you've sort of gone through that process, that's when you start to get to the nitty gritty about having those discussions about what everyone wants. Again, sometimes we can do that sort of via a family meeting if the personalities are okay to do that, but that can backfire, so it's not always the right approach. So you have to be a little bit careful, I think, of throwing everyone in the room. But quite often I'll sit down with all the interested parties. So I'll sit down with mum and dad and what they want, and then sit down with the next generation and what they want. And I also, if preferably, sit down with the non-farming members of the family to see the benefit that they expect to receive from their parents' wealth. And then I guess you come back together and you try and find a mutually satisfying solution. And, you know, invariably that's going to involve compromise. And then, you know, as part of that, once we know exactly what everyone wants to achieve, we tighten up that professional advice. And then finally is the implementation. And again, the key part to that is not necessarily transferring all the assets from day one, where mum and dad transfer everything and go on the pension and retire to the small town. That's usually not the way it happens, and it's usually not the best plan either, for various reasons. So it's about getting that structure in place, and then a plan in place to how that structure gets rolled out over time.
We're talking with Joe Anderson from AgriLegal SA about succession planning, and when we come back, we'll discuss exactly how to go about it in a little bit more detail. Don't go away.
The next generation of precision spreaders has arrived at Ramsey Brothers. The AgriSpread AS2000 series is an advanced precision spreader which takes simplicity, durability, capacity and accuracy to new levels. And for more efficient spreading, optional section control is now available. AgriSpread is suitable for fertiliser, lime, gypsum, manure or mouse bait with sizes ranging from 10 through to 22 cubic metres. The future of precision spreading is here at Ramsey Brothers today. Call your local branch for more AgriSpread. Ramsey Brothers, partnering farmers since 1950.
Welcome back to Ramsey Radio and our discussion of succession planning with agribusiness lawyer Joe Anderson. So Joe, what I wanted to touch on now, it's pretty normal to think about a farm business in terms of its assets, the land, machinery, buildings and so on. But what considerations and what do people need to think about on the financial side?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And it's obviously how much people are going to have in their pocket to do what they want to do is obviously a key consideration. Something that I really am always keen to make sure is that the retiring generation doesn't sort of stiff themselves too much. There's quite a tradition, I think, for them to hope that they'll be able to survive, off the smell of an oily rag, because they don't want to put too much pressure on the farming business. And I'm really keen to make sure that whilst you don't want to sink the farming business, you also need to recognise that the retiring generation deserve to be looked after and deserve a reasonable quality of life as well, because they've done their 40, 50 years sometimes on the farm. They've built up the wealth and they deserve to benefit from that to a great extent. And whilst they can hand over the keys and give the next generation a shot at it themselves, their financial well-being needs to be looked after. I mean, look, ideally, and this is probably something for the younger generation, is to try and, what I try and instill on them is to try and get some super. It ends up being a really powerful asset when it comes to succession planning. So if mum and dad have got a really healthy super fund, that just means that there's a great deal of independence between mum and dad and their income needs and the farm. And that's the best scenario, the one that we really want to achieve, is where mum and dad's financial well-being isn't contingent on the farm being really successful. Because as we know, primary production is so variable. You're going to have tough years. You're going to have a string of tough years potentially. And you really don't want mum and dad suffering during that period. So in a perfect world, we try and make sure that the income streams are separate. It's not always possible for various reasons, but I guess that's the sort of the process that we try to put in place. And that is a key consideration, I think, for people who are in their 30s and 40s now, or even 50s, it's not too late, to really focus on trying to build up some assets that aren't going to be part of the farming business.
And I guess that superannuation side of things, it's another area where that accumulated wealth can go to. So I guess what you're referencing there is taking or mitigating some of that risk.
Yeah, I mean, and look, it's a constant challenge. The tendency with farmers and many small business owners is to reinvest all of your profits back into the business. And certainly with farmers with such high capital costs, the farm machinery that Ramsey Brothers does a stellar job of selling, and land, it's so capital intensive that it is difficult to set money aside for things like super and things like future financial stability. It's easy to put it back into the business. So it is a challenge, but it's such a key part, and it's something that people need to have a bit of an eye on. And just, there's years that you might not be able to do it, but in really good years, it's worth thinking about putting some of that aside, because it does make retirement and it does make the succession plan process so much easier if there's a pool of money or some assets that are off farm.
It sounds great, and you've given us plenty of reasons why we should go down the path, but where can succession planning go wrong? What are some of the things that people need to watch out for?
Look, there's plenty of examples of succession planning going wrong. Ultimately, no one wants to ruin relationships or waste money on lawyers fighting over the family's wealth and the family's assets. So I guess the key thing I think to take into it is that no amount of money is worth losing family members over. I guess coming into the process thinking that you're going to have to compromise and you're not going to get everything you want. And it's an amazing opportunity that you're going to be given if you're the younger generation to inherit or to take control of a business and these assets that have built up over multiple generations. So I guess where it can go wrong is if the younger generation doesn't have enough respect for the past and what's happened up until that time. If they end up being a bit pushy and a bit impatient, that's where I see a lot of the problems happening. And you know, they've got to recognise, I think, the younger generation, that this is pretty scary for mum and dad as well, to be able to hand over such a huge amount of wealth, even if they've got faith in the younger generation in terms of their technical ability. They always worry that something's going to go wrong, or you know, that a relationship might fail. I think it goes wrong when people are too focused on what they want to get out of it and ignore the other side of the story. It's about coming into the process with a really open mind and trying to put yourself in everyone else's shoes and think about it from their perspective. And clearly, a big part of that is communication and making sure that everyone's really clear about what they want and the reasons why, or the reasons why they don't want something as well. That sort of conversation and everyone going, okay, well, I understand that. It's really about keeping an open mind and making sure that there's a willingness to compromise.
What I'm picking up, Joe, is that having these conversations now, early, putting the plan in place and getting all the interested parties together to put it all on the table really, really, really looks like it saves a lot of grief at the other end. If everyone speaks their mind and everyone around that table knows where the other parties are sitting, it does sound like it can save a lot of heartache further down the line.
Yeah, 100%. I think probably I was probably being a bit mean on the younger generation in that last conversation, but you know, for the older generation, I suppose they need to understand that it's not necessarily about handing over the keys and transferring all the wealth and doing all of that on day one. It's just about saying, okay, what does this business look like in 5, 10 or 20 years' time? Again, a really key thing that I think needs to happen as part of the process is the younger generation want to feel like they're making some progress in their own life and with their own wealth. So again, it comes down to that structure. Can we transfer one parcel of land into their name, you know, just to make sure that they feel like, well, at least I've got that in my own name now. And then you have a plan for, you know, another paddock to be transferred at some other future time. So they feel like all their hard work and all the risks that they take and all the things that they put into the business, are tangible.
Absolutely. And I guess the one thing that succession planning there is, and you said right at the start, there's not a one cap fits all or one size fits all. So off the back of all of that, Joe, what's your best advice in how to get that started?
I guess, sort of, as I sort of mentioned before, I guess starting that conversation with family members just on a, you know, sitting around having a beer or a coffee, just planting the seed, I suppose. And then once everyone seems to be, you know, have a willingness to explore some of these options, getting your professional advisors, you know, to come and help you out. You know, obviously it's something that I specialize in, but there's other good advisors out there, and certainly your accountant should be part of the process. And then quite often you need financial planners as well, just to round things off. So, and knowing that it's going to take a little while and it's going to be a bit of a process, that you're not going to get all the answers from on day one. And don't be too daunted by the process. Someone like me can walk you through each step of the way, and getting to the end of it is enormously satisfying. Most of the ones I've been involved with end up with, you know, a really good outcome for the family. It's great to see the family get to the other side.
What's coming to mind as I'm listening to this answer is, it's not just jump on the internet like you can and go and write your own will. Get the professionals involved. Seek out the right advice, and get it right from the start. Joe Anderson, thanks for joining us on Ramsey Radio and sharing your experience and expertise on succession planning. Joe, we've really touched on some other important topics, I think, through our conversation today. Any chance, mate, we could pencil you in for a few more Ramsey Radio conversations in the future?
Oh, absolutely, Tim. I think anyone who knows me knows that I love a chat, so more than happy to speak to your listeners and impart some of my knowledge onto them for sure.
Now, if you are in need of a good advisor, and hopefully Joe's given you plenty of reasons today to want to give him a call, you can find Joe at Agri Legal SA. Joe, really, really appreciate your time. And to our listeners, if you found this podcast interesting and useful, be sure to rate and share it on your podcast apps and listen to all our other episodes while you're there. Thanks for your company today on Ramsey Radio. I'm Tim Glover. Stay safe and we'll catch you next time.
You've been listening to Ramsey Radio, brought to you by Ramsey Brothers. Find this and all our podcasts on your preferred podcast app or on our website at ramseybros.com.au.